joining me tonight is Mama Kay.
Hey, everybody. It's Mama Kay.
And tonight, we are doing Napoleon. Going back to Napoleon. Little guy. Going back to Napoleon of last year. Not that small. I mean, you know, just like slightly below average size, I suppose.
Is he? I don't know. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix played him taller, I think.
But yeah, I think the real life one, I think he was like 5'7 or something. It wasn't like some... people play him like he's a cartoon character. I mean, that's just...
Taller than Tom Cruise? So that's pretty awesome.
I thought Tom Cruise was 5'7.
He's 5'6".
That's what you say.
That's what I say.
Napoleon. Ridley Scott film. He did... Yeah. What did he do recently?
Gladiator. Recently.
No, recently. Yeah, I mean, he's done Alien and Gladiator and the big giant things of the past. But
and Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, yeah. And Blade Runner 2049. There you go.
OG.
House of Gucci. Recent. House of Gucci he did. And Last Duel. How could I forget Last Duel? Last Duel's so good. Last Duel's so good. Love that. Yeah. You ever see Last Duel?
I didn't see Last Duel. You did, Adam Driver, right?
Yeah.
No, I did not see it.
Oh. Should be watching that.
Maybe.
Napoleon. A look at the military commander's origins and his swift, ruthless climb to emperor, viewed through the prism of his addictive and often volatile relationship with his wife and one true love, Josephine. Has a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics, 59% with the audience, 64% Metacritic, 6.4% IMDb. That's a pretty split decision. Low for a Ridley Scott film, although I guess that's probably what House of Gucci was like. This might have a lower score than House of Gucci. Oh, man. That's wild. That's a wild.
Well, maybe the expectations were bigger on this.
I mean, it is
an epic, sweeping saga.
Epic in scale and length. Yes. 2 hours and 37 minutes. I think it's almost as long as the Eras Tour.
Which I declined to do because it was too long.
Yeah, I was like, we didn't have to do this. We're going back to a 2023, still a relevant enough movie to talk about, but not
Oscar
brand
nominated.
New. Oscar nominated, exactly. But we offered the extension for Eras Tour for Okay, and she said, no, I would rather watch this 2.5 hour thing. That doesn't seem as fun. This seems more fun than that. I didn't force this. This was her decision.
I think I needed to watch something with your dad, and he was not going to watch the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. So that was part. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into my decision making, and none of it is always, you know, I can justify this time. Who knows? Maybe yes, maybe no.
This is on Apple TV Plus right now. I think it was on Max at one point. I don't know if it's still there, but it's
an Apple TV movie though, so probably not.
Well, then probably not. I must have been thinking of something else. So Apple TV Plus Napoleon, go see it. Yep. We're gonna spoil it now. So the movie starts in 1793. The French Revolution is going on, and it's the execution of Marie Antoinette, it's for last queen of France for you non-history buffs. And French Revolution, bad time in France. Things are going bad, and young officer Napoleon Bonaparte is in the crowd. And we later see we were following him. Meets very early on aristocratic widow Josephine de Beauharnais. Jobo. He woos Jobo, and they have a very sub. Dom, I'm all yours, you're all mine, mommy kind of relationship. And while they have that relationship,
that's how it's portrayed. Yes.
Yeah. So there's kind of three scenes in this movie. There's three types of scenes. There's those scenes where it's Joaquin Phoenix. I said Josephine Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix and Vanessa Kirby, who plays Josephine, doing little sub dom weirdo stuff. There is politics scenes where Joaquin's discussing with people in a room, and he's going, he's kind of doing like a Bill Pullman, actually, from Independence Day. He's kind of doing
confused.
A pained, it's very, France is falling under the boot. And then there's the third type of scene is the war scenes where they're Ridley Scott's an action director. He knows how to shoot him. At least he has in the past. And he has big war scenes. We see a lot of battles. So those are the general things that happens. And it kind of interchanges between those three types of things over the scope of the execution of Marie Antoinette to the rise of Napoleon as emperor, his battles, his treaties, his failed attempts and battles and stuff, right. His marriage falling apart and failing.
Waterloo.
And Waterloo is where we end up. So, Napoleon, what'd you think of it, Mama Kay?
I was initially interested because I realized, I'm like, Napoleon, everybody sort of has a snapshot thought about him, right? Short guy.
Did you know about any of that? Like, how much did you know about French Revolution? Because for me, I don't know how the school system was back then, but we did not learn a lot about stuff that was not in the U.S. So this was a lot of news to me. I was doing quite a bit of Googling alongside during the slower scenes, I will admit. Okay. Just to help me understand what was happening at times.
No, totally understandable. I would say that my knowledge of French Revolution does not come from my public school pre-college upbringing. There's
independent research.
Independent research, some stuff that I needed to do in college for either history or art history classes, particularly the coronation scene that was painted, a very famous painting by Jacques-Louis David, who's known as David, and did a lot of other really famous paintings. So that was one of the things. And so I had like that kind of background for it. Also, I feel like everybody talks about Napoleon and Josephine as this like love story. They never say it's a tragic love story or anything like that. It's like they have an amazing relationship. And then when you see this movie, you're all like, yeah, but what is happening in this relationship? This is not what I bargained for. So that was, and also, you know about the French Revolution from what's the movie with Jean Valjean?
Oh yeah, so see, I don't know from that movie though. Les Mis. I actually
Les
like,
Mis, yeah, the play.
I have no idea what happens. Les Mis is like when I'm watching a lesser Shakespeare where I don't really actually know what's happening. I'm just trying to catch up on any Hamilton I can follow, actually. I can kind of understand Hamilton. But like there are sometimes like what's the one? Like, I don't really know what happens in The Tempest. I've read that, but I don't really get it. Like, and I they're on an island, I know, but like, I don't really understand what's literally happening. Same thing going on here. Like, I just like, yeah. Or not like, all right, not same thing going on here. What am I saying? That was not my point.
Your point was that you don't have a basis of knowledge for this.
Yes.
Even though you know sort of a circumvented sort of piece of it.
I could figure out who good guys and bad guys were, but like, it was just surprising. Like, I was like, there's Prussians in this. I'm like, I don't know what Prussians are anymore. They don't have those in it. Austria. There is still Austria though, isn't there? Or is there no more Austria?
No, there's Austria.
Yeah, there's Austria. But, so there you know.
Yeah, but calling them Prussians and then also having Russians can be, if you don't know about Prussians, then it can be really confusing.
Well, and who's on whose side? Like, this is 200 years ago, right. So the sides are all different, and like, people look different, and like, this, like, everything's just different. Like, it's just like, it's older than the, or it's newer than the Revolutionary War, which is kind of like the first.
Just
the
by old, 20 years or so, though.
Just barely, but like, it's not the same. Already the empires are much different and weaker already. So, and like, this is the beginning of European kind of crumbling and restructuring to like the modern Western world. Like, the 1800s was kind of fall of Europe, but like they became lethargic, and then U.S. rose
America took over. So I basically thought about this as being, I'm interested in this as sort of a history lesson, knowing that Ridley Scott made the film, made it more palatable for me to watch, because he does make good movies. And I know by, you know, like Gladiator standards, that this could be, you know, something epic where I'm going to learn a lot. And I feel like I did learn a lot, although, you know, there's probably, for me, I feel like maybe 75% of it I can take away. And then there's 25% of it that might be artistic license that I'm not sure about. I never in my life thought that Napoleon was this grumpy, and had a like the voice he's using, I know it's difficult because you're talking about somebody who's a native French speaker and you're making the movie in English. So you have to take license there for sure, but
I
I just didn't
personally
feel.
like finish your point. I was going to derail us. Never mind. Finish your point.
I was just gonna say that I wasn't sure. While I thought the performances were fine, I didn't think that Joaquin Phoenix kept the same voice of Napoleon, or even made it so that his voice was different depending on, what was happening in the movie, which would make sense. It just didn't feel like
You
the
just felt like
continuity
Joaquin.
wasn't there. Well, it felt like Joaquin, but it also just felt like he was trying to do something, like you were saying earlier, with that kind of gravelly voice. What are we trying to do? And it's fine if we kept it the whole way, but then he takes, sometimes he takes on this like sort of babyish voice with Josephine, but sometimes he doesn't. I'm not sure. Like,
Well, the babyish voice is a little sex thing, so, but like.
yeah, I know, but it's just hard for me. I guess I didn't buy that piece of it, which is kind of important.
I've actually heard
But
mostly
wait.
complaints about this were being the there was no chemistry between Joaquin and Vanessa
I
Phoenix. I keep
what
fixing their
did you
names.
think? Because I kind of felt like she could give two shits about him. Like,
I didn't. I had no. There was no chemistry between them. And they're both so good in other things that I've seen in, which is so
yeah,
disappointing. I'm just like,
an
wow.
epic love story. This was not.
Sometimes it just does not work. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow. I just didn't. And maybe I don't know if they realized it and were like, all right, well, we're not gonna get rid of them. Like, we're not gonna get rid of either. Like you would get rid of Vanessa Kirby, but you're not really gonna get rid of Vanessa Kirby. So like, and you're not
Right.
gonna get rid of Joaquin. So like, all right, I
Well,
guess we're
they
stuck
had
with them.
somebody
Like.
else. I think it was Jodie Comer who was supposed to play
Oh.
Josephine. So
Oh,
that,
that's your last duel right there. Yeah.
yeah. So that might have been
Okay. Well,
really different.
that could have worked, but I don't. But I guess we'll never know. I don't know if Joaquin, as this guy, has chemistry though. Like him is. I don't know. I don't remember if you liked her, but like him is that kind of guy in her. I liked him as a romantic lead in there, but him as the brutish Napoleon, who's also a little imp man, is kind of. I don't know if you can make that palatably sexy to a broad crowd. It's or
Did it have to
like,
be sexy, that piece of him? Because I didn't feel like it had to be
I
sexy.
mean, I is it what the description I read? That isn't this supposed to be some sort of notorious love? You're supposed to like your lovers, aren't you, in your love story?
Oh, you
Otherwise.
mean with Joseph? I thought you meant with his army piece. Because
No.
I felt that, like that piece, yes. Anything that had to do with the love scenes was almost excruciating to watch.
Oh, it's the best parts of this movie. It's not even the talking scenes, which I wish were they were kind of just there. I wish they were kind
Okay.
of those are usually my favorite scenes, but they're not great. The best types of scenes in this are the battle scenes. The battles are
Yes,
great. Great.
absolutely.
I'm glad I have a very I got my 86 inch whatever TV to at home to watch this in, because if I'm not going to see it in theaters, it's
Yeah.
yeah, you want big experience here. The Waterloo battle does not disappoint. All the battles, I could have done more, like, but all the ones that are here, for me, they deliver. Oh my God, people get fucking eviscerated. There is,
Yeah.
dude,
But the
horses are
what
getting blown
the
apart.
frozen lake scene
Is that the worst
is
for
the
you?
thing. Well, no, not the worst, because I actually really liked the battle scenes as well. I mean, there were things that happened that I didn't like. There's a horse situation that I wasn't keen on, and I had to look away. But
I meant more worse, like just like oh, like whoa, like or like best, like biggest, like most eye popping.
well, most eye popping is, I don't know if it's Waterloo. I feel like it's the Russian situation. Where they go in and it's winter time, and that's just
That's the
so.
best. I think that might be the best scene in the movie is Moscow for me. That like 5 or 10 minutes.
I think that's good, but I really like the scene. I like the battle, where they're on the frozen lake, and that's Napoleon. If this truly happened, which I think this part is true, that they're all on a lake. He gets them onto the lake and then just starts fucking shooting cannonballs into the frozen lake, and then everything just goes under. Like, and it doesn't, I was waiting for the whole lake to kind of just, but it wasn't like that. It was like 8 or 10 minutes of just holes in the lake, things falling in the lake, you know, sadly horses falling into the lake and,
horses,
you know,
get fucked up in this movie.
Yeah. But I mean, this kind of battle, this reminds me of so many movies that I've seen. I mean, even like going back to The Patriot, when this is how they used to fight, where you just line up men and you're like, oh man, I'm in the front line. This sucks. I don't want to be here.
The techniques are so crazy. Like in Waterloo, when they're like, they're making like little circles, and then like the horses are like running around in the circle as the circle fire. Like, what? I'm like, ah, like you have to like crack out. It's very exciting actually. Like I'm sitting there thinking like the officers are like, wow, this is like. But you're also thinking like these are all like living things that like if they, it's a fallible human system. Oh, it's actually very like I'm like, ooh, this is kind of fun. Military officer like I see the draw. Like this is exciting.
Well, it's a huge chess game and
yeah,
it is people.
But this is like that fun period. Like that at all, there was a time period before like there's. At a certain time period, the technology becomes so advanced where you're like nowadays, it's like a whole nother kind of game. It's a less physical game, and it's all a intel surveillance game. It's less
right, but still, what
blowing
happened?
People
what
makes, up in circles, you know? Like,
but what makes everybody the most irate now is when you have, you know, civilian casualties, and it's like, most of these people did not want to be in these armies back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. That just was what you had to do. And now all of a sudden you have to be the guy in the front or the guy on the outside of the square, or you know what I mean? It's like,
well,
it's the
same
we
have no thing. We have no concept of what anything was like back in any other time. We are so we take everything for granted. Everything now, every injustice now. I say every injustice now looks like speeding in another time. Like the things that are harmful now are yeah. It's just the scale was just different back then. Things like the movie starts off like you know from the beginning. You see a woman running and then they grab her and then they execute her or they're throwing stuff at her. Like even if you had no context other than if you didn't know like this is the beginning of the French Revolution, what was going down, and then like the little title cards telling you what was going on, like. It's just like, it's right from the jump. It's just a primal world. Yeah. Only 200 years ago, so primal we were. Like, ugh. It's scary. It's literally scary thinking how not far away we were from what we think of as like civilized society. And then that one scene where the army just literally fires on that one mob of people running at them. And it's like, like nowadays, you throw like pepper spray and shoot the rubber bullets. Back then, they just fucking stabbed you in the face. The military stabbed you in the face and they blew you up. And that was the cops. And they blew you up in the streets. Like now, they like the version of that now is just it's still extreme in some cases, but it's just it's just the barbaric way it's done back then. Oh,
the part
wild.
Of that actual scene, the scene that you're talking about where they go after the protest, they were the people who wanted the royals to come back in favor. So there was the royalty, then the French Revolution overthrew that, killed, you know, Louis and Marie Antoinette. And then you had the people that were still loyal to the royal the royalists. So those were the people. And when that scene happened between the new army and the royalists, it felt current in a way. Like it felt like I've seen this, not so much here in America, but definitely you see this in other countries. You know, Haiti's kind of going off the rails right now. And you've seen things like this happen easily recently in South American countries. So it's just kind of crazy because it did look very much like that, but with, not rubber bullets or water guns or.
I would say people still can die. Like people still do die in things
they do.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get, but the scale is different.
Yeah,
and the,
but not
and
on
the
that
attitude
level.
And the every, like, it matters. Like, it, but like nowadays, like people actively try not to kill each other in what, like a protester is going to actively not going to try to kill a cop, actually. And a cop is going to, in most cases, not going to actively try to
not
kill a protester.
Not
going to
do that either. Yeah.
Back then, there was no cameras or checking or there was no consequences. You could, you just fucking,
not just
like,
that the consequences were good for you. Like if you did insane. Those kind of things, yeah.
Like you could literally you showed up to a guy's house and if you killed the biggest guy in the house, like that was your house now. Like that's crazy.
Well,
like
it's funny that you say that because when we're talking,
that's literally
about this
what
movie,
this like is. Like it's going on in this
that
movie.
That actually is exactly what this is because I didn't really have any idea of how Napoleon came to power. So to find out that he was just a general, so you know, high up in the army, but he wasn't an admiral or he wasn't in charge of, you know, the whole everything going on. And all of a sudden he just decides one day that he is just done with these people in this room that are talking ropes.
And they're all too spineless to stop him.
They are all just like glutton. All you see is guys eating, you know, pheasant or whatever. And they're just gluttonous, lazy individuals who feel that they deserve to be there. So nobody's going to challenge that until you get this little runt dude coming along and being like, not only will I challenge you, but I will take it over and put it back into not just a monarchy, but now I'm going to be an emperor. Like, let's do this right. I'm going to bring in the Pope, which, you know, the big guy. Let's bring in the Pope, and then I'm going to crown myself. So
I was saying, when they brought, I was like, back,
amazing story.
I was always like, back then, how did transition to power go back then? I'm like, oh, Pope, good move. I'm like, that's the move. You bring in the big religious guy. Like you get, just even for the non-religious people, like they know the score. They know where they're at. Like good moves.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, that's the thing is that you do that, and then. Not only do you bring him in, but then you're like, actually, I don't even really need you. It's all me. I'm just going to do this myself. And then I'm going to crown my, you know, my wife and we're going to go about our business. So yeah, it was really interesting to see that.
I said the real problem with the movie is actually like the thing that is like, it's just not really interesting. Like the love story that they're trying to put in here. It's not really that interesting. Yeah. And like, it's almost like my active imagination thinking about this time period and its implications on humanity now and how we are. It's actually more fun to kind of daydream than it is to actually watch the things until the battles happen. And then it's like, wow, look at these war strategies. Look at how are they lining up. And like, look at the use of drums. Why did we have drummer boys and things? You know why? Because we had to amp people up. Like, it's like playing, it's like
playing music.
You're playing music in a pregame before sports you watch Mad Max Fury Road, you see that guy with the guitar on the bungees, that's based on something. That's based on the drummers who would amp people like dun, 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 you're walking into the enemy's thing. Like these are the things I'm thinking about while watching an okay war movie. Like an okay war movie.
Yeah, I think that's okay though. I mean, it is an okay war movie. It does give me a more fleshed out sense of who Napoleon was. I don't really get all of the love story is based on mostly the letters that they wrote back and forth to one another. But I think we only see Napoleon's side of these letters. So what is Josephine saying? Josephine's just like, I got you. You just keep writing to me and I'm just going to keep doing whatever I feel like doing because I got money and I got a house or something.
Are we supposed to get that implication? Because if we are, maybe it's just the execution of the scenes. But I don't know what Josephine wants or her character agency when we're watching everything. She seems to, I thought she was into it sometimes, but I don't know. Maybe not. Why not though?
Oh, I don't think, I don't know in real life, but I think that this movie is saying that she was not. I mean, I think there's maybe only a couple times when I see her acting what I would consider truly loving toward him. And it's never in any of the scenes where they're intimate with one another. It's like they're sitting on a couch together or, you know, they're just talking in chair. Like in the very beginning when they're sitting at a little table at chairs, that's the only time I get any thought that she... I think that she's like, I need to do what I can do to make the best life that I have. And she's an aristocrat. So she's got, you know, she's got a couple kids and she needs to make sure that her way of life is taken care of. And she picked a good one for that.
She could have done worse.
She could have done a lot worse. And
we don't get much from the second wife. We basically see, she's like, I'm glad you picked me, sir. And there he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's one that's just, you know, she was from Austria, right? So they were just trying to, like, make...
I'm just thinking, can you imagine if we brought just a girl to Biden? Like, ah, I'm glad you picked me, sir. Like, it was a, like that was 200 years ago. That was not a long time ago. That was, like, a couple grandparents ago.
I can't wait to learn the things that you like. I mean, there are some sects in American society where that truly happens, and they're not... She seemed to be at least close to 16 or 18 as opposed to what some of these other, you know, young... girls are.
We take for granted what we think is normal because it's not what we think is normal just isn't normal. It's just what we're currently doing. That's the truth.
Yeah, it's of the time.
What we're doing right now, it could be really weird down the line. We just got to keep that in mind. And cuz I'm watching this, I'm like, "Wow, we were just different back then." Like they didn't value life. They didn't value each other. No. They didn't value themselves. They just everything was just crazy. Like it's just wild.
Yeah, they're horses.
They definitely didn't value horses. Like, really, like think about people like dressing up their pets now. Like before, people would just like lock their pets outside for like months. They locked their kids outside for months, let alone their pets. Like,
I did just see a stroller dog today. So yeah.
Yeah, so, hey, we're just a much softer people now, and hopefully, some sort of horrible brute like Napoleon is not waiting in the wings to come and chop all our heads off while we try to have our breakfast.
It's always possible.
I do wonder, is that the real point they're trying to say? That we're too comfortable and that around the corner some hungry dog is waiting to come eat our lunch?
I mean, maybe. I can see that being just...
Freedom isn't free.
Knowing Ridley Scott a little bit, that could be the underlying theme of this.
Why did he make... So I'm trying to think it out now, Ridley Scott's perspective as the filmmaker. He's made a lot of epics, so he doesn't need this. But he's always wanted to make Napoleon. Napoleon's been a long timer for him. And at the end of this, I feel like he wants to be like... The like war is just because a sad little man is horny, is I think his point. Like, sad little man has weird fetish thing. And it can't have a son, and wants to have a thing with his wife, and no one takes me seriously. And then that's is that his point? But I don't know. I just don't know what's interesting or like what he's saying there, or is he saying?
I don't know, because I think that there's been other attempts to make movies about Napoleon and Josephine, and they've not gone well. And it might just be because Napoleon is not a compelling character. I mean, you'd have to make him way more compelling than he is. So he's supposed to be a brilliant military strategist. I don't really get that from this. I do get that he thinks that he is one, but actually proving it, losing 3 million men in that time frame is a lot. Like,
I love one of his best statements at the end that encompasses him so well. He's like, I'm actually like such a genius. Like, it's all just simple geometry. I'm pointing a cannon, you know, and like this all would have gone so well if everyone else wasn't such a failure. You know, I can't make everyone me. If everyone was just me, this would have all worked out fine. You know, don't let other people's failures define you, or whatever he said to those kids. I was like, oh my God, he didn't learn anything.
He didn't learn anything. And the thing was, is those kids were British and they were like champing at the bit to get into the room with him and, you know, listen to him say things like that. I don't know. Why Ridley Scott did this movie? I mean, there was a lot of, apparently, you know, this movie has been in thought processes for a long time, and it was originally written
by
who did A Clockwork Orange? Stanley Kubrick.
Well, he did that. He didn't write it, though. I mean,
no, but it was originally Stanley Kubrick's thing, and
he wanted to make Napoleon.
He wanted to make Napoleon.
Oh, you're right. I did hear about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was.
And then.
But it's hard.
Yeah. Ridley Scott took it away, changed some of the story, I guess.
I can see why. I mean, it's hard. But the thing is, there's a lot of really interesting stuff in here. I don't know why it's so hard. Yes. I guess I think it's because people want to tell Josephine, but I don't know if it works. I don't know if it fits right. It just doesn't seem to.
I don't think it does, and I think a movie about Napoleon's got to be more about Napoleon and not about... I thought the love scenes, like you did, were just throwaway. There weren't... Nothing was really compelling about him. I mean, you can show that he had this undying love in a way where we don't have to watch all that much of it.
I think we need to see this time period from someone else's perspective, maybe, and have Napoleon be the villain who we understand his motivation as opposed to the main character. Because then we can still at least...
Like
then,
the Duke of Wellington, from his point of view?
Maybe. It doesn't even need to be a major person, but I'm just thinking, like, if you were to tell the story of the French Revolution, basically, because or the Napoleonic Wars, because that's what this time period is. It's like 1789 or something, or this movie starts a little later than that, but, like, Marie Antoinette's death to Waterloo, 1812, basically.
1812, 1814, something
like that. Yeah, 1812 is Moscow, 1815 is Waterloo, so there you go. Like, and, like, I was reading a little Wikipedia, there was, like, 7 regime changes in here. Like, Napoleon was the guy, but, like, the council or whatever changed, like, 6 or 7 times, and the council at other countries, like, that must have been, like, a pre-UN, but, like, these are things I don't know, because it was before the U.S., so I don't know nothing before the U.S. was involved. I don't know all these early EU attempt things that were going on when they were all shuffling the deck back then with the royals and the whatevers, but...
Well, and it's hard to know, like, this movie gives you the thought process that Napoleon, you know, he kept saying things like, I'm going to war for peace, like... That's like the most backward thought, and yet it still happens today. Like, I'm gonna go to war for peace.
Well, if I'm in charge, I can make peace happen. Whereas if someone else is in charge, I can't trust them to be peaceful, but I can trust me. And then everyone else is like, well, I'm not me, so I can't trust this person, so I need to be in charge.
Right.
So only the strongest trustworthy person being in charge leads to peace. Otherwise, it will not be peaceful.
Right.
If you have a really
to that too.
Well, that's you have to have a really strong and really trustworthy person in charge, and then it can be okay, kind of. But people are fallible and they die. So like that will only last. That will only last as long as that lasts.
And then
we were just talking about this with Taylor Swift, actually. How she
interesting.
Well, we were talking about like how she like everyone's a fallible person, but like how it would be such a bummer if she were a jerk all of a sudden, or if she's a person, she's a fallible
or
human.
Came out about her
exactly. Like what if all of a sudden. Like she was just shitty for some reason. Like everyone else is shitty. Like every other famous person who has their hot flash and then people find a thing or they're a dick, and then like, you don't like it. And it's like why though? Can't we just not do that though this time? Can't we just actually? Oh, this person's actually really successful, really good at things, and they actually don't make a bunch of horrible mistakes. They actually are really good, and they do exist, and it is actually possible to do these things. We don't need to have a horrible tragic story about our leaders every time. Our leaders can be good people. Can't that happen?
They can be, but are they?
Maybe they haven't just because we're still young as a society and we haven't figured out yet how to sort our decks properly. I think we're getting better.
Maybe. There is a little bit in this of the enemy of my friend is my... Or how does that go?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend?
The enemy of the enemy is my friend. So therefore, you know, he was still feeling...
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, that French had just helped the Americans win the Revolutionary War against the English. And so he still had a little about the English going on, a little, you know, verklempt about that. And the Russians were going to sort of be in cahoots a little bit with them. And so that made him, you know, not like that. It kind of makes you wonder, like, how much, you know, we get information now so quickly. That, you know, for him to get a piece of information about what is happening in a country that's, you know, 500 miles away from him, how many people did that have to go through? What were the telephone line kind of situations?
Remember,
where, you know,
what was it, 1917? That whole movie is about a guy getting a message to the front lines, and he gets it there like 20 minutes late. So like one line of people die basically, but it saves a bunch of people. And that's the whole movie is him getting that message there. And you see him doing it and it takes him days and he ends up getting there like 20 minutes later or whatever. Like, it's down to the wire. It's crazy.
Yeah. But who's the most trustworthy person? He's got to be the most, I mean, in every of one of these situations,
well, yeah,
the
you have to,
person has to be the messenger otherwise
it all boils down to just people though, doing their best. And like, you have to be like the person at the time, like hey, like, I don't know. I know it doesn't feel like that at this moment, but, like, you're doing a big thing right now that affects a lot of people. And, like, you really need to do your best right now and, like, be honest and about things because, like, well, a lot of stuff's going on right now. And you, the only harm is when you hide and lie. And then that's all the problems. That's where all the problems happen. That's so right. so much beheading and overthrowing, and that's the thing. Why don't they don't behead Napoleon? They clearly can. They behead Marie Antoinette. They behead that other guy too, the one at the beginning who is like, if you accuse me, then you're all the most corrupt ones. And apparently in real life they beheaded that guy. Why does Napoleon just gets to go live on a couple islands? I don't know.
I don't know why, but the people in power do switch back and forth in this movie, so there's a possibility constantly that you have the non-beheading crowd. And
I guess,
yeah, I forgot too. There's one funny part I wanted to talk to you about, how possible this probably is where they bring Napoleon back after he's been exiled. Or Napoleon leaves Elba when he's exiled.
He has like a last hurrah. Yeah.
Yeah. He leaves and he goes and he runs directly into the 95th Army or whatever that he was commanding before. And they immediately switch and become, you know, his army again. And that's how he starts up again. He was completely out of it. And then all of a sudden he goes from criminal to being, you know, head of the criminal masterminds.
Not to be crazy, not to be like this, like alarmist, but like this is what people think. What happens when our government transitions? You know, we're in times when sometimes our leaders don't want to leave the office when they're asked nicely, and so it requires
to an island.
Well, I mean, maybe, you know, sometimes you get sent to Corsica or whatever. Sometimes you go to Mar-a-Lago, and it's just like maybe you need to. Like this matters. Like you get because sometimes a bunch of angry soldiers who agree with you is enough to make a country new leadership. Yeah. That sometimes it really does just boil down to who has the force telling you what to do. So
we might find that out soon.
I would like to not. I would like to not. I would like to keep being the fat decaying country that has everything and is inventing problems to complain about because of how well we're doing. So I would like to actually continue keep that up. And then in 50 years back, we can all look back and be like, wow, we're doing better than we were then, just like we have always done, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
It's an attitude problem.
It's a people making other people's problems their problem.
Probably. I think Jack Sparrow said it. It's not the problem, it's the problem. It's your attitude about the problem. And he's a drunk pirate, so and he led lots of people.
He did lead lots of people.
He was a decent for not the best strategist. But you have heard of him. Would you recommend Napoleon, Malachi?
Napoleon was long, and I do have to say one other thing is that when I was getting ready to get on this podcast with you, I was like, oh, I'm just going to look up a last few things. And apparently they're like, it's Napoleon or Ridley Scott released the 4-hour director's cut on Apple TV. That's the streaming one. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did I watch a 4-hour movie?
That's not what I watched. I watched the
That is not what I watched. Cut. So I went back to make sure that it was the 236 or whatever. But I was like, is that what happened? Is that I watched a 4-hour movie and only thought it was 2.5 hours? Because that's kind of brilliant filmmaking. So
I know. Superior craft.
Yeah, well, and you know, with Ridley Scott, sometimes his director's cuts can be
Blade Runner director cut is good. As
opposed to the regular cut. So I don't know that I would watch it, but I might. That makes me want to maybe. I'm not giving this a recommend though, just because for that possibility.
You need to watch Last Duel. That is a far superior medieval, like this time period kind of film. Completely different subject matter, but better.
True story.
Yeah, true story. And don't look up anything about it because you care so much about the last duel at the end, who wins. And not because you care about the two men, because you care about her. And she needs somebody to win. Not because the men are good guys, but because she needs something to happen there. It's the stakes are there, and I don't want to reveal exactly how the way the movie plays it out, but you care a lot about the last duel.
So you can care about women in a Ridley Scott movie.
Not
aliens.
He's right up there with Tarantino as far as men who can write women and write them in a way that is just organic, compelling, and you want
to
get on board.
As a woman, I'm going to have to check that out then, just to see if...
You tell me if you disagree, because it's that's Jodie Comer. She's the woman of the last duel, and then Matt Damon and Adam Driver are the men, and then Ben Affleck is also in there being a cartoon character, which is
of course he is.
He is being cartoon
Those
character
two are
man.
So codependent.
I still don't understand how Ben Affleck is. What it doesn't really make sense to me is like he's actually very very good director, I've found, but his movies are always very good, but. He's still him as an actor. I don't get, like, I don't think he really blends into his roles. Like, it's distracting.
I'm trying to think of something that he might have blended into, but I can't. So, Well, so, I mean, yeah, if we don't recommend this, I know you recommend the other, so maybe listeners can check both out and see what they
Was
think.
Was that a recommend to Napoleon?
Yes. Not a recommend.
It was not a recommend. Napoleon.
No. Just go and do a short history, like drunk history on him or something. That'll help you.
I think I'm going to soft recommend it because it was a okay experience. And though it's long, like it is like the parts that are boring, I am actively thinking about it, like time period. And I think that it has something to do with the movie's credit. Like the movie was totally crap and sucky. I wouldn't be thinking about that. I would be angry or like thinking about other things, like but because I'm actively thinking about this time period and the way the movie is portrayed is making me actively think, oh wow, it's making me think, and I think that's what the point of this is. That has value. Yeah, it's not his best work. It is too long, and it's not like a too long, like just like a generic, it's just like the love story just doesn't organically weave into this greater. The more interesting story here is the French Revolution story, I think. I think the failure of trying to make a Napoleon biopic is that it misses the point in what's the interesting part about Napoleon's story. It's not Napoleon the man. He's pretty uncomplicated. He's insecure and has a kink, and that's it. That's fine. Like, you can be insecure and have a kink, and as long as you don't kill 36 million of your countrymen, it would be nice, but, you know, we all make mistakes. But, yeah, the more interesting thing here is, I think, the French Revolution, just the whole time period. I think it's an established country going through its change, and, yeah, that's relevant. So, a recommend of the soft variety and a not recommend for
of
Napoleon
the variety.
Of the also of the soft variety. It's a soft film. It's a 59-58 on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's appropriate. You know
that makes sense.
That makes sense. So
yeah,
coming down the pike, we're gonna do Bottoms. I think we were supposed to do Bottoms. It was a listener suggestion, but it was just moved off our schedule. But we're gonna bring it back on while it's streaming. So you do that with us, Monica? Bottoms. It's interesting.
Have I seen it? Or
have you seen it? You're
I have not seen it, but I know
that
about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm interested for that. Yeah.
So if you have anything to recommend to us in the meantime, that was a listener's suggestion from a couple people. I'll cite the people when we get there. But Films with the Men of My Life on Facebook. You can reach out to me on Instagram. I'm Brennan_podhost. And you can email the show filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Also on YouTube, just search Films with the Women in My Life. And you click all the buttons so that we get stuff. All right. Thanks for being on, Mama K, for Napoleon.
You're welcome.
Until next time, this is Brent signing off, saying thanks for listening and enjoy your movies.
Thanks for listening to Films with the Women in My Life. If you enjoyed being a listener in our life, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Keep up with the latest from the show on Instagram at Brennan_podhost. On Facebook at Films with the Women in My Life, and on Twitter at Films Women Pod. Finally, you can email the show with questions and suggestions at filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Original music for the show was created by Ian Burke and Chris Iwanek. Original artwork created by Nicole D'Alessio. This show is produced by Brennan Snyder. Thank you again for listening, and enjoy your movies.